Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Kuf Mem Vov, the 146th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim, and this is a Mizmor focused around the trust in Hashem and not trusting in humans. Let's look at it in terms of structure. The Mizmor is constituted of 10 psukim and 2 basic sections. The first 5 psukim are a prayer to Hashem and contrasting the weakness of human beings compared to the everlasting nature of Hashem. The last 5 psukim, psukim vav to yud, are a prayer for Hashem and relating to praising Him for His abundance of kindness and justice, which is everlasting. Worthwhile noting in terms of structure that the Mizmor begins and ends with the word Hallelujah, praise be Hashem, and also in the first half, the paragraph is made up of psukim which are 2 phrases long. In the last section, the last 5 psukim, each pasuk is made up of 3 phrases. So that changes the way that we actually read it. So the next time that we read this Mizmor, notice as you read it that it actually has a change in the pattern of the way you say it. So the first half is going to be A, B, A, B, A, B. And the last half is going to be A, B, C, A, B, C. Which means you're going to actually notice a difference in the way you're pronouncing it and articulating it because of that change in pattern. Let's take a look at the themes quickly. The overall breakdown of the Mizmor is very simple. The first 2 psukim are focusing on the Mishorer, the narrator, expressing his will to want to praise Hashem. Azamra l'Elokai b'yodi, I want to praise and sing Hashem while I'm around. He then turns to the infirmity of human beings and who people put their trust in. He says, you know, Al tiftechu b'nedivim, don't trust those nobles, b'ven adam she'en lo teshua, in a human being who has no hope. Rather, he now contrasts that with Hashem, Hashem who helps everyone. Every person, even the most vulnerable, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oseh Mishpot LaAshokim, Hashem does justice to those who are oppressed, Noseh Nechem LaRe'ivim, gives bread to those who are needy, Hashem Atir Asurim, God who frees prisoners. Notice there's a 3-part phrase in that sentence. And in comparison, finally, the last pasuk is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in contrast to human beings, is everlasting. HaYimloich Hashem LaOlam, Hashem will rule forever, Elokaich Tzion, the God of Zion, LaDor V'Dor HaLeluka, for generation to generation, praise be Hashem. That's the overall breakdown. Let's note a few themes that I've found in this breakdown. One is that it could be that this is a leader speaking to his community. As the Da'at Mikra, Rav Amos Chacham notes in his commentary, it could be that this, in fact, is somebody speaking to the crowd. And he starts off by saying, Hallelujah, praise be Hashem. You know, folks, don't trust in human beings. They're too infirm. Look what Hashem does to the world. Praise be Hashem, Halali, Elokeich Tzion. And finally, ultimately, in the end of the day, they respond by saying, Yimloich Hashem Lo'olam Elokeich Tzion Ador V'Dor Hallelujah. The refrain, the response, the chorus that people come in is ultimately in response to the invocation of the leader. That might be one of the settings in which this is said. Another theme worthwhile noting is the mortal versus divine theme. And that it is true that there's a lot of time spent in this Mizmor talking about the infirmity, the weakness of human beings, but it's also worthwhile just doing a basic contrast of Pasuk Beis to Pasuk Yud, the beginning of the Mizmor to the end of the Mizmor, the bookends. In the beginning he says, Halala Hashem b'chayai, azamra l'lekai b'yodi, I'll praise Hashem in my life, I will sing to Hashem while I'm around. The notion is, and the implication being, is I'm not going to be around for too much longer. A human being's transient passage on this earth is very short. But contrast that to the last pasuk, Yimloich Hashem Lo'olam, Elokeich Tzion Ador V'Dor HaLeluka, Hashem will live eternally and everlasting. So think about the contrast of those 2 ideas. I am here for a very short time. I'm going to try to praise Hashem, who is infinite and here for all times. Because as the human being is able to attach themselves to infinity, to that degree they gain something of infinity. If a person spends their entire life creating their own moral code, creating their own system of meaning, creating their own fulfillment in life, then yes, you know what, that comes and that goes, and it goes faster than it even comes. But when a person decides to attach themselves to the infinity, that gives them at least a certain smattering, a little bit of a taste of the infinity of the divine. Another theme to be noted in this Mizmor is, as Rav Hirsch points out, is Hashkocha Pratis, the providence. You'll notice that actually there's a transition between these Mizmorim. We just learned Mizmor Kuf Mem Hei, which we colloquially call Ashrei, which is more technically better known as Tehillah LeDavid. And in that mizmor, the focus is actually what's called hashkacha klalis. That means to say general providence. So as an example, Einei kol elecho yisaberu, v'atona senes ochlo mitoi. All eyes are upon you, looking for their satiation, and you give them their food at their right time. Poseach esodecho, Hashem, open your hand, umaspia, and you sustain kulachol chayrotzon, every living creature. That means to say from the amoeba to the single cell organisms to jellyfish to elephants, everything in the world is sustained by Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what we call hashkacha klalis, where Hashem looks after the klal. Individuals, human beings, it's not so much about them. It's about the entire ecosystem being in harmony, in consonance. Whereas when we move to this mizmor, says Rav Hirsch, if we look at this mizmor, it's actually about hashkacha pratis. Hashkacha pratis means to say that we look at the individuals now. Now it's human beings. There's a person who's vulnerable. There's a person who's incarcerated. There's a person who's impoverished. All these people our Kodesh Baruch Hu turns to. And you'll notice something interesting, that this mizmor is not so much focused on the nation of Israel at all. This is not about B'nai Yisrael so much. There is the mention of Tzion at the end, but that might be in relationship to Hashem's name. Actually, the main focus of this mizmor is about human beings versus nature. Nature was the last one. That's L'chol Chayrotzon, all living creatures. Now we're back down to human beings. And the concentric circle is going to go become smaller soon as we move to the next mizmor, which is about Israel. Another thing to note over here is a sub-theme which Rabbi Nachman of Breslov points out in Likutei Maharan, in Samech Vav. He points out that when the person says, Ahalelah Hashem b'chayai, I will praise Hashem during my life, he points out that this isn't just that while I'm alive. He says, the way he understands it is, Kishein nitzrach labrios. What does it mean, my life? It means to say that I'm in control of my life. I'm not going to be at the whim of other people's emails, which are going to set my to-do list. I'm not going to be the kind of person who is going to be dependent on other people's decisions, on other people's schedules. Yes, I have to work. Yes, I have to have a family. Yes, I have to engage in the world. And yes, that's all going to be meaningful to me. But I'm not going to feel that the locus of control in my life is outside of myself. And therefore, he says, "B'chayai, b'chayai davko, haino she'ani chai mechayim sheli. I'm living my own life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not trusting the divim. I'm not trusting other people because you know what? They come and they go. I am going to live a life in which I am in the control of my own life." And that's the focus of this mizmor. It's a very powerful way of looking at it. And perhaps one of the most gratifying feelings in this world is to feel in control, to feel that one is leading one's own life. At the end of every day, one can say, I lived this day the way I wanted to. In trying to understand the events behind our mizmor, the Radak and the Al-Sheikh both point out that this mizmor is not simply referring to what we call the psychological quandary of who we depend on, but it's actually referring to history, and it refers to the nation of Israel in Golus, in exile. And so many times in exile, we've looked to this leader, to that party, to those people, to those individuals, to those donors, and we think, you know, we'll find security by making friends in high places. And the Radak says, Al tiftachu b'nei divim. That's what the mizmor is saying. Is the way we get out of this mess of Golos is not by finding those nedivim, because you know what? Teitzeruchu yoshuv lad mosoi. They're going to disappear. And when they disappear, all those hopes, all those dreams, all those aspirations, all those promises are going to disappear just as fast as they came. The only way to get out of it is to turn to Hashem, who has justice, who has kindness, and who will keep his promise ultimately throughout Jewish history. In considering the places this appears in our davening, of course, this is the first of the five halalukas, which appears in our Psukei de Zimra. This is the core area of our Psukei de Zimra, which is fascinating because in the Psukei de Zimra, the main area of Psukei de Zimra is Ashrei and the five halalukas, and they are, in a certain sense, just copied straight out to Tehillim in terms of order. So this is Kuf Mem Vav, and therefore, it immediately follows Ashrei. Also, it's worthwhile noting that Pasuk Yud is a very famous Pasuk. It appears at the end of Kedusha and appears in numerous other places in the Shemona Esrei, on the Yomim Noraim, in various other places. And just one Pasuk in the spotlight today, and that is when in Pasuk Gimel we are told, Al tiftuchu b'nedivim b'ven adam she'en teshuah, don't trust in the noblemen, don't put your trust in human beings whose help is not helpful. It's worthwhile, just one interesting historical example is, you know, there was an individual over a century ago, his name was Grigori Rasputin. Grigori Rasputin was a very strange, shadowy figure who found favor in the eyes of the Tsar of Russia. Why? Because before his fall, one of his children, the crown prince Alexei, was suffering from hemophilia, which means he didn't have blood clotting, and he it was very traumatic. Whenever he would fall, whenever he had an ailment, it was very troubling. He was a very nervous type of child. And this person, this figure, who's some sort of religious figure, had some power over this child, was able to calm the child down, and became very much part of the Tsar's family, so much so that his wife, in a certain sense, fell under a trance, trusted this man, Rasputin, so much so that, in fact, he had his hand in state affairs and started making decisions regarding the royal family and the policy, whether it be in-house policy or foreign policy of Russia, to such a degree that numerous attempts were made to kill Grigory Rasputin, and finally they succeeded and they did murder him because of the negative impact he was having on the royal family and the palace. And sometimes we find people like that. Sometimes we find less mysterious people, but we find answers and solutions, and we put all our trust in people. We don't realize that it's not helpful for us. We don't realize that they are frail. We don't realize how frail we are by trusting them as well. Yes, we should have relationships. Yes, we should make ourselves vulnerable to other people and create relationships. But to fully trust other people is never a healthy thing, and that's what this mizmor is telling us. The only rock, the only complete solid place in life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's Yimloich Hashem Le'olam Elokeich Tzion L'Dor V'Dor Halleluko. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.